We now bring to these microphones David James, and today, for the second week in a row, we connect with David in the Philippines. David, how's the ministry going out there?
Well, I'm having a great time. I don't know about the students, but I'm having a great time. And I taught God's Plan Through the Ages first week to the first-year students, and then I just finished teaching the book of Proverbs to the second- and third-year students. And then next week, I actually teach two courses, one to each group. I'll be teaching Daniel to the first-year students and Current Theological Issues to the second- and third-year students. So it's a great opportunity that I've had every year for many years now.
Please give our greetings to the guys in the Philippines. I know a bunch of them from past years and experience in ministry together. Before we get into our main topic, however, for this week, Dave, I want to let our listeners know about a brand new feature that you're adding to the Alliance for Biblical Integrity website. I'm excited about it. Tell everybody else about it.
Sure. Thanks for the plug on this. First of all, this is a set of book reviews by Dr. Gary Gilley. Gary Gilley is a pastor of Southern View Chapel in Springfield, Illinois. And in fact, he actually directed the Berean Call to my first article on the Harbinger way back in 2012. And humanly speaking, was responsible for getting the whole thing started to get my first book published. And he's a brilliant guy, a great theologian, has an apologetics and discernment, a website ministry as well. And he reads one book every week or two and has done this for years, and he writes reviews on many of them. So on his website, Think on These Things, he has over 600 book reviews, and he's given me permission to put all of his book reviews on the Alliance for Biblical Integrity website. So our listeners can go to biblicalintegrity.org and click on articles and reviews. In fact, he's the first one that comes up on the banner, or you can click down on the large icon on the lower right side of the Biblical Integrity, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity website.
Boy, that is great, great information, Dave. And in fact, I will use that myself because, you know, there's so many books out there that have been written. It'd be good to have a godly, biblical man who can tell us, well, I've read this, here's what I see in the book, and you can either then take it under advisement to read it or throw it away, forget about it, and not waste your time. That is great for the Biblical Integrity website, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. Well, a couple of days ago, I sent you an article, Dave, that had the title, Evangelism Must Explain What's Wrong with the World. I thought that we could use this as a sort of a launch pad for our discussion today, since you see a lot of people around this world and a lot of that world.
That's true, and I travel to 8 to 10 countries every year, and I see a lot of things in those countries. In fact, if I step outside the gate here at Word of Life in the Philippines, I'm immediately immersed in a deeply third world country with a lot of poverty that is steeped in Catholicism in most cases, and needs to be reached with the gospel. Our listeners may not be aware of this, the magnitude of the task that we have, but I went to a website and doing the research. There are over 134 million births per year, and 55 million people die each year. All of those need to hear the gospel when they come into the world or before they leave the world. And to bring that down into practical terms that people can get their minds around, just during the time of our 13-minute conversation, there are going to be over 3,200 births in the world. Every single one of those need to hear the gospel. And during that same time, over almost 1,400 people will go into eternity, and they need to hear the gospel. So this is a very important topic and something that's close to both of our hearts.
Yes, certainly is, and that's very important information you've just given us. One of the main points of the article, as I read it, was that ultimately sin is what's wrong with the world, and that evangelism must address this universal problem. Now, how important do you think it is, David, to talk about sin when you're presenting the gospel?
I think it's extremely important, and I think that even in evangelical circles, we have gotten away from discussing this. You know, salvation is a package deal that has many aspects to it. It has two fundamental components, and those two components would be forgiven sin and eternal life. Christ died for our sins, and it's through his death that our sins can be forgiven. He paid the penalty for our sins, and then he rose from the grave unto eternal life. And so we need to be talking about those. You know, we're not just saved to something. We're not saved just to eternal life. We're saved from something, and there are consequences of sin, and we can't talk about the consequences of sin, which is an eternity separated from God in hell, unless we talk about the need for that forgiveness of sin, and that is our sinful nature, our sinful condition, and the sins that we commit against a holy God as a result of that. So it's extremely important. Otherwise, there's nothing to be saved from.
You know, as you travel, and boy, you do a lot of it. You do a lot more than I do nowadays, and we pray for you often. Hope everybody listening will pray for you as you do travel for your safety. But do you find differences in how the gospel needs to be presented in different countries and or cultures?
Well, of course, the content of the gospel itself, it never changes, and it has never changed. The content of the gospel is centered around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there does need to be some contextualization, and what that means, that's a term that is used in missions, contextualization of the gospel. That means presenting the gospel in ways that are culturally relevant. And so there are things, for example, it's not just a matter of being culturally relevant in different cultures around the world. Even in our own country, we're in a changing environment. So a few years ago, there was an article about how sharing the gospel in our secular age is different. So we have to take into account what people know, help them unlearn some of the bad things that they may have learned in a religion that they were brought up in. There may be even illustrations in different cultures that work in one culture but don't work in another. So we need to explain the gospel in ways that are culturally relevant and fit into that culture. And here in Asia, where there is no background in many countries concerning Jesus Christ, people don't even know the name of Jesus Christ. We have to start at a different point and not take things for granted that we might take for granted or might have taken for granted in the United States even 50 years ago. The director of Word of Life here in the Pacific Rim has developed a means of presenting the gospel called the Gospel Story Arc, for example, where he actually starts back in the Garden of Eden and tells what happened in the garden, the fall of Adam and Eve, and how we inherited that sin nature, and goes through a very clear explanation of the gospel and putting the whole gospel in the context of history, as well as how we came to have this need and why the gospel needs to be presented and people need to take it seriously.
I've seen that presentation of the gospel before, starting there in the Garden of Eden. I think that's very effective. Go back to the beginning and let's show the need for salvation, but how it all came about as well. David, in all of your travels, I'm sure that you've been in a lot of evangelistic meetings over the years and church services where an invitation was given for salvation. Do you have any advice concerning sharing the gospel? Maybe a couple of things that we should or we should not do, and whether it's one-on-one or in a meeting with a lot of people there.
I think there are a few things that I've noticed over the years that are more and more frequently left out of gospel presentations. The first is concerning Jesus' identity. Many gospel presentations will say that Jesus is the Son of God, but the Son of God, the term Son of God, means a lot of different things to different people, and I think we need to clarify that his identity is that he is the eternal Son of God, but we also need to say that he is God himself who became a man. And if we don't know who Jesus is, then there's no particular reason for us to trust him any more than any other religious leader. Building on that is the resurrection. The resurrection is frequently left out of gospel presentations. And the fact is, if he only died for our sins but didn't arise from the grave, we would simply spend eternity as dead, forgiven sinners. But we have the hope of eternal life. Like I said earlier, salvation is a package deal, forgiven sin and eternal life. And then I would say the third thing is we need to talk about the eternal consequences of rejecting the gospel, and that is an eternity separated from God in hell, ultimately in the lake of fire.
That's a great, great presentation and reminder of how we ought to go about trying to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Well, as we wrap it up for this week, Dave, maybe you could briefly share the gospel with our listeners, because you know there may be someone out there who's listening who needs to know how they can have their sins forgiven and be saved from an eternity in hell. Share that with us, please.
Sure. In my seminar, The Gospel Under Siege, one of the things that I have is how to actually present the gospel in 25 seconds. So in under half a minute, you can share the gospel. And this is what I tell my students and people around the world about sharing the gospel. And I'll just read what they'll see on the screen whenever they're in that presentation. All have sinned and stand condemned before God, and so deserve death and hell as a result. Because of his love, God became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross in our place, shedding his blood for our sins and taking the punishment we deserve. And then Christ arose from the grave on the third day in victory over death. And God grants forgiveness of sin, and he gives eternal life as a free gift of his grace to all who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation.
Wow, that's great. That is great. And by the way, if you want to re-listen to that, go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and there you can re-listen if you would like to understand better how you can come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. May I just suggest, if you do follow David's instructions as to how to get saved, give us a call here at Prophecy Today. Our phone number is 423-825-6247. We'd love to hear from you and maybe pass along some follow-up materials to understand what has happened in your life. David, thank you for this discussion. I think it was key for us all to understand how to properly give the gospel and make certain that we get out to the world and do that before the shout for the rapture does take place. Thank you so much, good friend, and have another great week. We'll talk to you again next week with another issue to discuss.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to talking with you next week, Lord willing.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll take the Bible, open it up, we'll take a look at the book, and bring all the issues we've discussed on the broadcast today together under the prophetic scenario that's found in God's Word. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.